Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
This is Bananarama with Cruel Summer 89. It certainly is, and it's certainly very tropical in the studio today. I've been joined by some men in sheds. Guys, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
And Lois from Age UK Isle of Wight. Hi, Lois. How's everything?
Good, thank you.
So, yeah, we're completely subtropical in here. There's four of you squeezed over the other side. So we're just going to have to go with the flow. So, men in sheds. This is an absolutely fantastic concept. Such a fantastic commodity for the communities to have. Lois, can you tell us a bit about how did men in sheds come about? What was the need for men in sheds?
Well, the shed movement started in Australia a couple of decades ago, and what was happening out there is a lot of Vietnamese veterans were coming up to retirement, and they're finding that their sort of health deteriorated really quickly. A lot of them were taking their own lives, etc., and that was because they sort of started to lose their social contacts and their sort of place in society, if you like. So they looked into this and decided to bring them together in a sort of community space. And men being men don't tend to like to just sit and talk to each other, although they do, really, as long as there's a cup of tea and big roles involved. Men like to sort of work alongside each other, so that's how the sheds were born. And now we've got sheds over in the UK. I think there's around 500 in the UK that are actually active or in the process of being planned. So there's quite a lot, and that's happened in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah. And, you know, society has a bit of an issue at the minute with isolation and loneliness, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We're quite fractured. And I would say on the Isle of Wight, communities, there's a huge community feel, but it's still very needed.
I mean, you can be surrounded by people all day and still feel lonely. You know, I often hear men tell me that, actually, that they're surrounded by family, but actually because they can't engage with them in a certain way because they're used to being in a work environment and having a certain amount of banter and what have you, they don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
It's the biggest health issue of the 21st century.
Yeah, and it's still quite under discussed, isn't it? You know, we can talk about Mental Health Awareness Week, which is a couple of weeks ago, and that is still something that needs to be discussed more.
Absolutely.
And men's health. So next week is actually Men's Health Week, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. I mean, and something that people think of men's health, they think of prostate straight away. But actually, it's more to do with lifestyle and general health and well-being.
Yeah.
I think this year they're focusing on diabetes. So obviously, that's to do with diet and exercise.
Yeah.
But also, there's a lot of issues around mental health, if you like, but more to do with sort of loneliness and isolation, social engagement. Men don't admit to feeling depressed, they won't admit to feeling lonely, which is where the sheds come in, because they don't need to come along and say, I've come along today because I feel lonely. You don't do that. You come along because you want to enjoy yourself and enjoy the company, you know,
and make a little community out of it. And it's also something, as we were saying, it's very informal.
Absolutely.
And there's a purpose. There's cups of tea and cake, but there's also a sense of achievement because each shed is different, aren't they?
Oh, completely, especially the Isle of Wight. I think we're quite unique in the country.
Brilliant.
Most men's sheds are sort of woodwork-based, if you like, or metalwork-based. I mean, we've got ones here. We've got the music shed. We've got a second one opening up this week on Friday.
Yeah.
We've got a shed within an old power station from the 1930s. We've actually got a shed within an aircraft hangar that's part of a museum.
Great.
And the Tottenham shed, of course, is the most picturesque shed in the country. It's on the clifftops overlooking Tottenham Bay. It's fantastic.
So you guys, so I've got Tony, Steve and Dave in front of me. You're from the Tottenham shed.
That's correct.
We are.
So you're lucky enough to have those views.
Indeed.
And any one of you, how did you come across the shed and the men in sheds?
Well, purely by accident for me. I was just wandering along the clifftops one day and there it was.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was there, to be honest with you. It's the old groundkeeper's hut.
Okay.
And it's hidden in the trees. And I just saw Lois lurking about in the bushes. This is a suspicious looking character. What's going on here? And it went from there.
Yeah. And what about you guys?
I moved here a year ago and saw the poster in the parish office window and definitely thought, with being new to the island and the area, that it would be a good place to go along and meet hopefully like-minded people, which has been the case. Very like-minded.
Great. And how have you found it? How long have you been with Totland for the past year?
Yes, well, I went there 3 months after we moved, because obviously the first 3 months I was having to decorate and things like that, as you do.
Yeah.
But no, and it's been great ever since.
Yeah, no, I moved on the island a year ago, and again, I was looking for somewhere to go, so I looked on the internet and various things to try and find out what there was in the area. Again, came across sheds, and I thought, this is for me, this is something I can do, and again, meet people. So it's been brilliant.
Yeah, and as all of you have echoed, it's about the meeting people, isn't it? So you do think a man in a shed is quite a solo, solitary kind of hobby, whatever happens in that shed. But actually, with men in sheds, it's really encouraging that you can just meet a whole vast array of people that you might not have come across.
Indeed, and also we all bring different skills, although from the same range of skills, but we both bring different skills to the to what we do, so that's really good. We learn off each other as well as contribute to sort of maintaining our shed and things and developing it.
Now, your shed, can you describe your shed? Is it a typical shed?
Well, it depends on your preconceived notion of a shed, to be honest with you, because in our definition of a shed, it could be anything. It could be a coffee house. It could be a 6x4 wooden box.
Yeah.
It could be a park bench, to be honest with you. As long as it's a place that people can focus on and meet, then that's a shed. Our shed is, unfortunately, it's a little block box, which has been donated to us by Totland Parish Council, who have been very good, actually,
yeah,
I have to say. And
how big is your block box?
It's about 4 metres by 3 metres.
Okay.
So it's not massive. Unfortunately, as many of us are in excess of 6 foot, we can only fit in the front half because it's a bit lower at the back than it is at the front.
So what do you do in your shed?
Well, at the moment, we're doing a lot of work trying to get it more amenable to working in there.
Okay.
So we're a bit short of space.
Yeah, so you're kind of like doing it up at the minute.
Yeah, we're doing some groundworks at the moment, trying to stop drowning in mud when it rains.
It sounds wonderful, though, because this is something that you're nurturing. You know, you've been given this block box, slightly muddy at times, and you can all work together to make it into a space. But while you're making it into a space, you're already forging those friendships.
Well, yeah, and we've also put a new roof on fairly recently.
Yeah.
And done a lot of painting and putting flood defences in. So, because it does get quite wet up there, it is a little bit exposed.
Okay. And what do you plan to do in the shed? What kind of, have you got projects in the pipeline or, you know, are you kind of, yeah, what are you planning?
Well, we had a meeting the other day about to build things such as planters, bird boxes, and look at other items that might be within our skill set to make that we can take and either sell or, you know, if there's a need socially, locally, that we can donate and work from there.
Careful, Tony. The other sheds listening.
Oh, is there like shed competition?
Might be pinching our ideas.
Yeah. Oh, this is excellent. What, keep it on the down low?
Indeed.
No sharing. So, Lois, on the Isle of Wight, do you know approximately how many sheds there are?
Off the top of my head, I think there's 11,
yeah.
Which for the population is actually very, very high. But each shed is different. So you've got your sort of more traditional sheds, like Shanklin Shed, which is more of a woodworking shed, and you've got Venter as well, and the Spire, and another one's just opened up in Cowes as well.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, say, the music sheds. We've got the power station, which is all engineers, all these sort of steam engine enthusiasts doing that one. It's got the largest single piston engine on the island, and they're actually restoring it and bringing it back to life.
Oh, gosh.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So they're all different. So we sort of cater for a lot more than just woodworking. We're also looking this year at possibly opening a tech shed, because people that are retiring now would have gone through most of their sort of working life using IT technology.
Yes.
And actually what you can do things like build sort of robots or whatever it is with off-the-shelf products and adapt stuff that's already out there. So that's something we're looking at. Also possibly a history shed, art shed. You know, there's lots of ideas.
So the shed is your oyster, in effect?
Absolutely.
Whatever you want to do.
Absolutely. And for me, a shed is a collective noun for men. So
yes.
A group of men, that's a shed.
I love it. That's brilliant. We're going to go to some James Bay and then our adverts. You've been listening to the Older and Wiser Show with Laura. James and Judith have departed, We do miss them terribly. And we'll be back very shortly. And that's David Bowie. With Fame, the 90-minute remix. You're listening to Vectis Radio 104.6 and online. I'm Laura, and this is the Wednesday afternoon show with the Older and Wiser show. I'm joined by Lois from Age UK Isle of Wight and three men in sheds, Tony, Steve and Dave. They've not expired yet. Our tiny shed here is definitely hotting up, but we're still managing to cope, aren't we, guys?
We are.
So we've been talking about men in sheds on the island and the vast array of sheds available to us all. Now, I'd like to know more about the benefits since joining the shed. So, Dave, could you tell us, you know, what's it been like since you've met these men in sheds?
Well, for me, it's been a lifesaver in some ways because I lost my wife 2 years ago. I also then couldn't cope with work anymore, so I came out of the job. I then moved house and moved over to the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, so it's a huge life change all at one time.
Absolutely, and I basically needed, obviously then I found myself quite secluded, stuck in a house a lot, so I thought, right, let's get out and try and do things. Men in Sheds came along.
Yeah,
and it has been a lifesaver for me. It's been brilliant.
And often, don't you find that the hardest part of getting social when you've had a setback is actually making that first contact? Because you think about it for a while. Did you find it very easy, you know, to find men in sheds and then to get involved?
Yeah, so I went online, found out where they were. I contacted Lois and she said, well, yeah, just turn up. And I found where the shed was and I just turned up. And Steve was there, I think. And basically said, men in sheds. He said, yes, here I am. And
there you go.
Yep, it all started from there. So it's fantastic.
And what about you, Tony? What's your story with men in sheds?
Well, as I said, I moved down a year ago. I retired, in fact, 7 years ago. Took early, but didn't settle where we'd moved to in North Yorkshire. Decided to come back to by the seaside. Loved the Isle of Wight. And so we moved here, and then once you got the jobs done with a new property that you have to do, the decorating, you know, the fitted bedrooms and all that lot, it was looking around for something to do. And I said, saw the advert in the parish office window and thought, yes, that's my sort of thing, like-minded chaps and friends, you know, somewhere to make friends. And I've not been wrong in that, and it's been a great experience. You know, so I can heartily recommend it to everyone as a method of getting together, forming friendships and some social interaction, as well as using your skills that you've acquired over the years.
Well, that's so important, isn't it? With retirement comes the big full stop. And, you know, you can feel that you've just left all of your skills behind. They're not recognised. You can't bring them to the fore, you know, in day-to-day social life. And the sheds are enabling all these chaps just to bring their lifelong skills with them. Steve, what skills have you got? What do you bring to the table?
I make a mean cup of tea.
That's probably the most important skill.
Yeah, I usually get the fig rolls in as well.
I think Tony has a problem with fig rolls, don't you, Tony?
No, I don't have a problem with them at all.
I think that is the problem with it.
There's too much love for the fig roll. Yeah. And Steve, what's your story? How come you joined Men in Sheds?
I took an early bath in 2009 and moved to the island about 4 years ago with my wife, and we've just been on holiday ever since, really.
Yeah.
To be honest with you,
how did you feel about the retirement? You know, the kind of.
Well, that was a very difficult thing because I retired shortly after I finished my apprenticeship in 1975. I just forgot to tell the people I worked for and they didn't seem to notice either. So that was just the way it went.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't a wrench for me leaving work. I'd had enough by then. So. Yeah.
Fly free, basically.
Yeah. Like I said, an early bath.
Tony.
Yes.
What do the wives think about this? Do they miss you?
No, not in the slightest.
Are you helping them, probably?
Well, yes, because we're out of the way, out from underneath their feet, yeah. So they can go off and do what they like to do and what they want to do without falling over us and us keep, you know, asking for cups of tea and all the rest of it. We do it ourselves. So, yes, highly supportive, I have to say.
Yeah. And Dave, what's been your favourite thing? What have you learnt from the process of doing up the block of concrete on the hillside?
Again, it's just the social part of it. You know, it's just meeting people. You know, like these guys. You know, it's like I've known them for years, sort of thing. You know, you just walk straight in and you're accepted, and it's just, you know, your friends, and it's been brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave, it does feel like we've known you for years.
Are you quite regimented? As in, you know, if I was to come and visit you, is there a timetable of things you're doing, or are you kind of really relaxed, have a cup of tea, have a chat?
Well, we have 2 hours on a Thursday afternoon that we all like core time, if you like,
yeah,
between 2 and 4. If there's anybody else out there who wants to come and join us, come and play, be our guest. And but we do sort of meet up and do other things. We usually, after we've finished, we have the what we describe as the après shed down at the local waterfront bar. plug.
So it's kind of, you don't have to be that social only within your shed. It spills out into the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really enriching in that way. How many shedders have you got at Totland? How many of you are there?
It varies. There's anything up to, even though we haven't got very much room, there can be anything up to 5 or 6.
Six foot men in a
five tiny. Or six men.
But you're all about 6 foot.
No, I'm probably the tallest at 6. So I tend to bash.
What plans do you have for the future for the Totland shed? Seeing that sheds are your oyster.
Have to be a bit careful here.
So. Oh, you don't want to give too many trade secrets away, do you?
Well, it's not just that, but if we start expanding the thing out of all proportion, Totland Parish Council are going to find out we're going to be in trouble, aren't we?
Well, when you've built your 70-foot extension on the site?
Probably a fire pit and a jacuzzi. And if we can get the wood, we'll put a sauna in. And
it sounds like a piece of heaven.
Yes, I don't know what drugs I'm on, but they're either not working or they're working too well. But now we are trying to make it better, more amenable to us. So. Yeah.
And if we do, then my skills from a former life will come in for, you know, heavily camouflaging it so the parish council don't notice it's there.
Brilliant. Highly effective. And you didn't hear it here first. Do you, I know that other sheds, they take part in community projects. So some sheds, you can take some broken electrical appliance and the men in sheds will look at it. What do you find, Lois, about the community, the aspect?
This is probably a much more difficult aspect of this particular project. It's relatively easy, she says, actually getting the sheds up and open.
Yeah.
A lot of the sheds are located in places where there is already a community engagement. So the Braden shed and the Shankney shed are both located within larger buildings where, in return for having the workshop, they're asked to do various bits and pieces around maintenance work, painting, that sort of thing. And that works really well because they already have something to work on.
Good purpose.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's the day you turn up, you could be painting a dining room to cleaning out the flower planters, whatever. For Totland, the parish council have asked for things like having benches repaired and stuff like that. And we've also been asked by Fort Victoria, which actually the Totland Shedmen worked in the Archaeology Discovery Centre, as it's now called. They worked in there over the winter, helping to sort of revitalise the place. And it's worth a visit, guys, if you're in the area. But they've been asked to build a sentry box, which used to be at Totland. At Fort Victoria, and to actually recreate it. But unfortunately, the sentry box is bigger than the Totland shed, so we're going to have to find ways of working our way around that. But we will. We use the other sheds in that respect. We'll get the other sheds to help sort of actually cut the wood up, and then we'll put it together.
So some great projects in the pipeline.
Absolutely, yeah.
Lovely. We will come back to more sheds after a little bit of Noel Gallagher and his High Flying Birds. Good afternoon. You're listening to the Wednesday afternoon show with Laura, and I'm joined by some men in sheds. I've got the lovely Dave, Tony and Steve and Lois from Age UK Isle of Wight. They're still here. They haven't expired. We've just had a phone call. The bat phone called. Whenever the phone calls, a big light flashes and you're not sure if it's the police about to raid the studio for whatever reason. Arthur from Fairley Road He owns the Postal Museum, and he said he has a mega shed, and he invites you guys to his shed for a cup of tea. So next time you have a spare moment, come on down. Come and meet Arthur.
Absolutely.
It's a date.
Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur. Lovely to hear from you. So, Lois, tell us, you've got a huge variety of sheds on the island. So we've got the Totland Shed lads in front of us right now.
Yeah.
You had an open day on, Monday?
Monday. So on Monday at Shanklin Shed, we did a sort of triple event, if you like. So what we have is we have a lot of people donating tools to us, which is fantastic. Yeah. So often when they're moving house or someone's passed on or gone to care, they have a shed full of tools. So they say, would you like them? And I say, yeah, brilliant, fantastic. And I always say, what we can't use, do you mind if we sell to raise money for the sheds? I say, that's fine. So all the sheds get tools donated, but often they have duplicates of stuff and nothing of anything else. So what I said, well, all the sheds, bring the excess tools along, we'll swap over what you do or do not want. Then we have a barbecue for lunch.
No, it's always very important.
Always have food when you've got men around. Seriously, it sort of brings them along. And then in the afternoon, we had a second-hand tool sale for the public. So whatever was left over, we then sold on. And we had two or three possible new members for the Shanklin Shed at the same time. And that's what it's about. It's that draw. How do you get men through the door? It's really hard.
Yeah.
It can be really, really hard. But if you've got a tool sale, they love it. You know, they come from all over the island, you know. So, that worked really well.
And you do find that there's a glut of, if you move house, there's always a glut of tools. And you think, well, I don't want to chuck them. Mm. You know, my dad's got all these tools from the 1920s, which have been handed to him from his father and his father before him, and it's such a waste, isn't it?
It feels like it's a waste. I mean, especially the stuff that has been used. Like, some people have gone through their apprenticeships. My grandfather was a chippy, and my father still got the toolbox he made as an apprentice with all his tools in it, but they've been surpassed by sort of more sort of up-to-date mechanical, you know, takes a tenth of the time. So what do you do with the old tools? And it's a really hard thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the Aviation Museum shed, we've been donated tools by a gentleman called Richard, who actually, it's his collection that's the main part of the museum. So it's his aeroplane memorabilia. Yeah. But he had a workshop. He used to make propellers and stuff like that for planes. And he's donated all his tools to the shed at the Aviation Museum. All very nice stuff. And it's all going to be put up there to recreate his shed, if you like. But then that would then be used by the men to do projects within the shed within the museum.
What other projects have they got coming along? Have they got a Black Arrow?
The Black Arrow. Yes. Oh my goodness, you can't make this up. So the Black Arrow rocket, which was the one that took the Black Knight satellite into space in Australia, was built in Cowes, I believe, at Saunders. Yeah. It was tested at Needles, and they're going to recreate it full size at the Aviation Museum. So the actual rocket itself has been made, but they've got to bring it in, put it together, and the men are going to be helping to put the decals on it to sort of make it ready.
What a fantastic project.
You can't make it up. You really couldn't.
No.
You know? I love my job.
Your job sounds awesome. Yeah. And you get to meet chaps like these chaps here.
There is another side, isn't there?
You can't have everything, can you, Lois? So you've also, you've got Sandown Engineering Shed.
Yeah.
Talk us through that.
So that's the power station.
Yeah.
So that's based at the Pluto Pavilion. So it's at Brown's Golf Course, and it's the original power station to the golf course when it was created in the 1930s. And it's all still there. It's all still intact. It's got the largest single piston engine on the island, and the building itself was abandoned in the 50s when they actually linked up to the national grid, and it was just literally walked away from, and it was just left.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the building went into disrepair and the roof caved in, so they had a lot of water ingress, which was flooded the place, which sort of caused a lot of damage. But the guys are in there now trying to restore it, and they're actually going to try and get at least one of the large piston engines sort of working, if you like, just to show the public. But they've already got one of the tiny small engines in there working, and they're just all over it like bees to honey. Oh. You know, it's incredible.
Yeah. And it's purpose again, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But it's also, it's heritage and legacy.
This is a really important site, you know. Although the Pluto pumps pipeline under the ocean wasn't actually within that building, this power station would have certainly generated power to the buildings where they were located. Although the pumps are now gone, this is still part of that history.
Yeah.
And it's also a really important history of that area. We sort of neglect the Sandown Bay area in many ways, but actually Brown's Golf Course is an incredibly important part of the history of the islands. And we just think of it just as a golf course, but actually it's a lot more than that.
Yeah. Okay. How do you get involved with Men in Sheds?
Okay, so, I mean, if you're online, we do have a website, which is iowsheds.com. www.iowsheds.weebly.com. So just put in IOW Sheds on the search engine, you'll probably find it. We've also got Facebook and Twitter page as well, so IOW Shedmen is the link for there. Or talk to Age UK.
Yeah.
They'll put you through to me.
And you get to talk to the lovely Lois.
Oh, absolutely. Or my glamorous assistant, who I just recruited. Hi, Rory, if he's listening. So he'll hate me for saying that. So we can sort of direct you to the right shed. It may not be the shed that's in your local area. You may have a different interest, uh-huh. In which case you could go to sheds somewhere else in the island, but actually suits you more.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky in that respect, in such a small geographic area, having so many different choices.
Yeah, so much variety. Yeah.
And we cater. I wouldn't say we cater for everybody.
Most people.
Yeah, as long as it's legal and safe, I don't care what the sheds do. So we don't.
And you said that you're always looking for new ideas for sheds.
Absolutely.
So if anyone's got any good ideas,
absolutely.
And would like to form a lovely social circle.
Yeah, yeah. I think I sort of draw the line at gin distillery, to be honest. But
sounds like a very good shed to me.
It'd be very popular, that one.
Oh, you guys! Sadly, the hour is upon us. Thank you so much for joining us, Dave, Tony and Steve. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Lois.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Older and Wiser show. We're on every other week on the Wednesday afternoon show with Laura and Tom. It's been a really lovely 3-hour session. Listeners out there, you stay safe, keep having fun, and I'll see you next week.